You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So it's a new week and we are on a new topic. Do you know what a covenant is? This week we will be unpacking this important topic with Pastor Pastor Hangoma. I think I said it correctly. With Pastor Hangoma here and see how we can be better enlightened. So covenants are one of the most important themes in the Bible, and they are the key to God's redemptive plan to restore humanity to its divine calling. Starting in Genesis, God enters into one formal partnership, which is a covenant after one with various humans in order to rescue his world. So Mpundiswami is joining me on the line. So let us get into the conversation. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you too. Thank you. I'm okay. And how are you doing?
I am good, Mpundiswami. I hope I pronounce your name very well.
You have done it perfectly well.
Yay! They said perfectly. Thank you so much, Mpundiswami. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Please, shall we pray?
Yeah.
Loving Father, we are grateful this morning that we are able to engage into your word and hear how you desire to save humanity through different ways. And from the chaotic way through which this world found itself, you have been trying to meet humanity back to a plan, or maybe the way through which you could communicate to humanity. Today, as we discuss the topic of the covenant, our prayer is that, Loving Father, draw us to yourself in every manner that we can communicate. This is our ask in the name of Jesus until you come. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Mpundis, as we kick it off, what are covenants, or what is a covenant?
All right, thank you. Well, I think the key terms in this particular discussion, we cannot talk about a covenant before understanding who are the people that are involved in a covenant, who is involved, who is not involved, and what are the do's and the don'ts in a covenant. So I think those are some of the things that we need to unpack. But practically, a covenant really is a relationship between two partners who are binding. Maybe they have a binding promises to each other, and they work together to reach a certain common goal. So in a covenant, there's a certain common goal to be reached. So these two or more people, there is one person who is supposed to keep a covenant, and then somebody who is... So it's an agreement between two people. But they, again, as I put it, they have a certain goal they must attain altogether.
So how important are covenants, Mpundiswami, when we're looking at it? Because we do understand that this is something that happened from the beginning of time. You know, so how important are covenants?
Okay, so maybe we run it this way. So from the word go, we understand that the world is created, but before the world is created, in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, we understand the Bible says that the earth was without form and void, isn't it? Yeah. So now the world is created, it has now a form. That particular form, it is a certain structure where God is happy about how the structure is and whatever happening. Getting from that particular perspective, we see it from Genesis chapter 3, man sins. And when man sins, when man has sinned, he has brought about a certain chaos. And this particular chaotic thing that has been brought, it is as though you are returning the world back to where it was prior to creation. As we can suggest, it was without form. So man returns the world to a point where it is without form. We cannot tell in which point is this particular world, what is happening, which particular mainstream are we going to go for. So in this particular sense, therefore, God brings about a way through which he can bring the world to its original perspective when he created. Why is it important, therefore, the idea to bring the world back to where God wants it to be? And that is why now he involves two or more people. There is God and there's an individual that must do something. So God has laid the plan, say, okay, I want you to do this particular thing, and I'm going to do this in this particular agreement. For us to go to reach this particular goal, I can't reach this goal alone. There must be you involved. And you, for you to be involved, you must do A, B, C, and things like that. That's the picture that I would like to render as we run around this particular thing.
Are covenants only between men and God, or can men and men form covenants?
Well, interesting. Well, in the global village where we are, people have created covenants.
Mm-hmm.
So in these covenants that are made in the world, they're not only, well, we can juxtapose around one particular principle. It's not only God that has made covenant with the people, because mm-hmm. man to man has also made covenant. We have covenant like debt covenant, property covenant. In a debt covenant where people would agree and say, I'm going to give you this particular money and you must do these particular things for this particular thing to work out. For example, we have got, I'm sure we are all alive to the fact of, is it the IMF that gives money to states? And for them to give money to some states, they give conditions. They will tell you, okay, for us to give you this particular money, of course, most of the affected parts or the states are the African. They will tell you, okay, you must do this, you must not do this, you must do this for us to finance whatever you do. So it's seen both in the biblical perspective and also to man to man. I think that's an example that we can picture, which most of us maybe are alive to.
So in simpler terms, a covenant is an agreement between two or three people. Yes.
Exactly. This is a legal agreement that has a certain promise that is a binding, rather.
So meaning mm-hmm. when now I got married to my husband and then I said till death do us part in sickness and in health, that's a covenant that I made. So those vows that we make during marriages, those are covenants.
You're making a covenant, yes.
Mm.
You're saying, I am going to be with you as long as we are alive. So you're making those agreements together and you have a certain goal to reach. So that particular, whatever that goal be, you know, there are so many of covenant that people are making, but one of the examples that you have just highlighted is a marriage covenant. People make those marriage covenant until death do us part. I promise to be with you.
So Mpundisi, you mentioned there the legalities of it, how this is a legal agreement and, you know, it's legally binding. I mean, God is God, you know, so what's binding God to to the confidence that he's made to us? Like, what authority can hold God accountable with, for example, with marriage? I would understand, because the moment we say that, then we have the courts of the land, you know, that can hold us accountable. For example, when we divorce, when it comes now to separation of properties and so forth, and our parents can also hold us accountable and so forth and so on. But covenant between man and God, I mean, really, who's going to hold him accountable? Because where there's legality, there has to be accountability.
Exactly. Wonderful and interesting. So, who is going to hold God accountable for what he must do and what he must not do?
Mm.
Look, I think let's get a picture in this particular manner. The covenant between man and God, the idea is to bring man back to himself and to... I think we can see it clearly from the perspective of the first covenant. The first covenant that we have is the covenant of Noah. When he makes a covenant with Noah, he says, I have given you a part to play and I've given you a sign. The sign that I'm going to give you is the sign of the rainbow. This mm-hmm. is a sign that will always be there to tell you that, okay, there will never be a flood again, because he gives us, when he wanted to recreate the world, he sweeps it with water, but he says, I've made a covenant, I've made an agreement with you, that I will, whenever you see this particular thing, it will remind you that God said he will not destroy this world with water again. So this is a sign that you always refer to whenever you are thinking of this agreement that you have made. You'll be thinking of, okay, there is a rainbow. The other picture is Abraham. He says, I have given you a sign. I will make you great, but you must do this particular thing. So whenever you want to come back to me and claim what I have told you to do, you must use this as a sign. Say, you told me that you make me great. And the sign is, I am circumcised. So meaning in my whole system, the whole family is circumcised. So the family that is circumcised indicates that they have an agreement with God in the sense of Abraham. Running through up to David and Moses, there is a certain agreement that is made between these two people, God and the person. He is a guarantor for this particular, but we cannot take him to court. But yet we can still call him and ask, you made a promise between Abraham that when this happens, you shall do this. We cannot take God to the court of law and say, you said you are going to do this, but you haven't done. So I think that's where the difference is.
On that one, Mpundiswami, it's quite interesting because, yes, I understand that the covenant, it's legally, maybe the word, I don't know, but because the moment we say that something is legally binding, for me now, I'm like, okay, we've had places, even now, we have places where people are dying due to floods. But we are saying that the first covenant there in the Bible, God said, I will not kill people by use of water, by use of flood. So who is causing, like, you know, now I'm thinking in my kindergarten mind, who is causing this flood? Yeah. Are we then to say that God has retracted from his word? And remember, he's God, so we can't hold him accountable. Mm-hmm. What then do we do? You know, do we now pray to God like, God, Mara God, are you sure you did not lie? Or, like, you know, I'm trying to think of it because we have people that are dying on a yearly basis throughout the whole world from water. But that was the first covenant, as you have mentioned there, that we have. So how then do we, or when we are having covenants with God, it's only us human beings who can be held accountable, who have to do all of these things. Guardian is just the issue of confidence. Ati bambala, yeah. I'm really confused.
All right. Thank you so much. I mean, look here, from the perspective of the floods that we have seen with our eyes and we have heard with our ears from different spheres of life. I mean, we can talk about different places of the world where they have experienced a lot of floods.
Yeah.
But we should not be oblivious to the fact that when God has made a covenant between man and himself, he says, I will not do this again between you. And I have made a rainbow to showcase to you that this shall never happen again. Think with me that even the devil is listening. And when the devil is listening, he's trying to frustrate the promise of God. So he will try by to make us forget that God has made a promise, that he will never do this. So he will bring his other thing that he's orchestrating to ensure that people can think that this God, he said he will not do this, but he has done it. So all this particular thing where we have, when God has made a promise and then another person comes in to frustrate, it is orchestrated by the devil to make us forget the promise of God. Even the plan of redemption, as it were, God has made a plan and he says, you man, you must do this for this to work out. The devil will bring his own things because he says, if you follow my commandments and if you follow what I'm going to do in this particular covenant, there will be no diseases, there will be no this. And because the devil knows the end product of this, he says, well done and good and faithful servant. What does he do? Mm. He brings a way through which he can be frustrated and not trust the words of him who has promised in this covenant altogether.
Hey, open this year. Oh, you opened another can of worms, but I won't go there today. because we're speaking all things confidence, because I have a lot of questions about this thing. But again, Mpundiswami, so what are the dangers of breaking our confidence, be it the confidence we have with God, be it the confidence amongst us men? Well, for married people, already know the dangers of that. But in general, what are the dangers for us not upholding these confidence to the up until they're finished, if they do get finished? Or it's fine, man, I can just promise you, I'm like, Pastor, born, I'll give you 5,000 kwacha there, and then that's it. I don't give you, there's no repercussions or anything like that.
Remember, in our definition, we actually brought in the conclusion of saying there must be a certain goal to be reached in a covenant. Mm-hmm. So if I have a role to play in a covenant, as it were, and then there's a goal to be reached, you have been told, if this is to happen, you must do A, B, C, and this shall indeed happen. And if we highlight those things that must happen in a covenant, if you decide not to follow what has been given on your part, we don't need to blame the person who promised at the end of the day. So the repercussion, therefore, is that the common goal will never be reached.
Okay.
That's the conclusion. So if there is a common goal to be reached, and then the covenant, the rules and the regulation of the covenant covenant are not reached, then it means the common goal will not be reached by the person who has not followed the commands or who has not followed the agreement. So meaning we have abrogated, you have just abrogated the plan altogether. You have refused to follow, and you may not, you should not claim what you have not followed. Remember, I'll give an example. The God says to in the Mosaic covenant, he says, if you are going to follow these commands that I've given you, there will be no diseases among you. There will be no one that is going to be to experience abortions. That's another term. Maybe miscarriagement. There will be no miscarriagement among you.
Mpundisi, we're losing you there. We're losing Mpundisi. Mpundisi, please come back to our listeners at home. If you do want to engage with us, the number to dial is +27 7 3 4 7 0 3 5 2 0. Let me know, what are your thoughts on confidence? Are you a confidence-keeping person? I see Pastor is back. Pastor, we had lost you there.
Okay. Yeah. Am I back now?
Yes, you may continue, Mpundisi.
Okay, so as I was speaking, the point is here. There are the goodies that are highlighted when covenant are given. So if those conditions are not followed, like in the Mosaic covenant, he says, if you are going to follow these rules and regulations, if you will follow these, there will be no diseases among you. There will be no miscarriagement among your women. There will be no, nothing will be, all the bad things won't be there. But if you don't follow these that I've given you, you have miscarriagement, you are going to have problems with you. So I think the problem comes in if a common goal is not reached, it means that somebody or one among the two has abrogated. And of course, it's not God, it's the humanity.
So am I correct in saying that confidence, more especially those with God, they have to do with obedience? Because if you don't obey, it means that the covenant won't stand.
Interesting. It makes me agree with the songwriter. He says, the songwriter for some song, Trust and Obey, he says, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So therefore, it is not a burden to him who has followed the Lord at a lengthy time to follow what he says you must do. It is not a burden. So when you have agreed, you have made a certain, it's reciprocal. So if you follow the rules that he has given you, then it means that the covenant is still abiding. But if at all you sway away from what has been agreed, the common goal will not be reached again. I come back to my point. For the only way a common goal can be reached is to abide. So obedience in this particular circle, it is key. If you see from the Noahic perspective up to the David perspective, the problem after the changing from one point to another, where God introduces another thing, is because there's been a problem with obedience throughout the circle. With the people of Noah, with the people of Abraham, with the people of Moses, with the people of David, there's been a problem with obedience. And God has always been, no wonder he introduces his everlasting covenant, where he brings Jesus. Jesus, in the new covenant, he gives us an example where he followed the rules of the Father to the letter, and he never abrogated the covenant of the Lord or the Father.
I'm still on the legal entity. But there's another... There's another part, Fundiswami, that I think tomorrow that's where I'm going to want to dwell on Ganingi, which is the issue of blood covenants, because we know that.
The blood covenant.
Yes.
That's another interesting part of this. Office,
yes, you know? And I want us to dedicate tomorrow, to look at it more in depth and understand. But for today, Fundiswami, so this covenant, by virtue of us, me and you speaking now and agreeing, and swearing, if we can use that, it means that the covenant has been established, right? Or me, whenever I speak legal things, I always think of papers. Or because we're saying that it's legally binding, should we now have pen and paper and then it's written down that I, Zanele, will give Pastor 5,000 kwacha by this? Does it have to be written down, or just by the mere fact that we have spoken about it, then it's legally binding?
I love the question. Well, because in this particular sense, therefore, we are using the human language to explain what we might not fully explain. So maybe to kind of put a semblance into what we do in our normal life to say, because it's a legal thing, then it requires a certain paper to write somewhere and say, okay, God, come and sign here. Mm. I'm going to sign here to ensure that this is going to work. I don't think it would be safe to say that is the way through which we can run and say, okay, I want you, God, to come and sit here and then sign on this particular paper, and I'm going to sit also and sign, and we have agreed on this particular point. But the point is that we must reach a certain mutual understanding with God, where we understand each other, where we in prayer, in things that we do, it shows that we are agreeable to what God has asked us to do. So it's not an idea of a pen and a paper, and then we sit and say, okay, this is what we have agreed, and God must do this, and I must do this. I don't think if we go that particular mainstream, we will still run around the idea. But again, it boils back to a true definition of what it is. What does God want to do through this particular covenant? One, he wants to restore humanity to what it was. And if that be the case, what then should humanity do in this particular picture? Humanity also must play a part. What part must humanity play? God is willing to change us, but we must also be willing to be aligned to that particular structure in which God wants us to be. I think that's what we can maybe conclusively agree on this particular mainstream.
Can we still make covenants with God in this day and age?
In this day and age, could we still make a covenant with God? Yes, we can.
How?
Why so is because we have God has made an everlasting covenant with us. He says, I will put my laws and imprint it in their foreheads, isn't it? That's what the Bible says.
Uh-huh.
If we are to go clearly with the new covenant. It says, in the new covenant, in the words of Jeremiah, it says, in the new covenant, I will write my laws in their hearts.
Okay.
Yes. So can we make a covenant? Can we make an agreement? Yes. Why? Is because there is an idea of returning the world to its normalcy. So if that is the idea of God, then yes, we can make a covenant with God.
When this, let's park it here today. You know, we have explained what the components are and a good understanding. Tomorrow, Mfundiswami, I want us to dwell on the blood covenants.
The blood covenants.
Yes, we see them in the Bible. We've seen those blood covenants and lest I misspeak, the covenant from Jesus, his blood, you know, and all of those things. And also looking at the animals as well, which animals used, which animals were not used. And bringing it back again to today's world, do we still do those, or Jesus' blood is enough, you know, those kind of things? So I want us to talk about that tomorrow, the blood of Jesus. But today we're going to have to wrap it there because of time. And I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
All right, thank you so much. And as we run to that tomorrow, we pray that the Lord can give us more insight that we can understand now what is the significance of blood in the covenant, in an agreement altogether. Thank you so much, and shall we say grace. Father in heaven, thank you for your time, and thank you for the opportunity to share your word, and thank you for the enlightenment of the covenant, what we must do and what we must not do. What shall happen if we don't follow, and what should not happen altogether? Altogether, what we can just ask is that in our endeavor to reach the new frontiers of heaven, help us to become better. Our methods might not work out. May your method of the blood of Jesus work alone. We thank you for these airways that are merging to ensure that we can evangelize and share your word. Keep us strong and keep us in faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Hangoma, thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow. I can't wait. I'm super excited for that one. I love blood things. Anyway, Papa, I'm putting his heaven as
ever. I wish you God blessing until we meet again at 11 hours tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, yes, Pastor. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Blessings.
Blessings. To our listeners at home, that was our pastor there, Pastor Hangoma, speaking to us about all things covenant. So tomorrow, yes, blood covenant. That was what we're going to be looking at. But then for now, let us take a listen to this song by Maymen Jesu. Nkosi Jesu Ngiqhube.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.